and preached, I preached just about the whole Bible, that there are a lot of basic things that I don't preach a whole lot about anymore. I always preach about salvation, always. But there are some things that I probably have, now that we have some new members, I should be putting some more emphasis on, because they are a cardinal part of what we believe. And I mentioned this morning that one of our members had a piano tuner visit from the Church of Christ, and kept her up till about 1 or 1:30 in the morning, trying to convince her she could lose her salvation. Well, this is one of the things in our church that we absolutely, positively, without question, believe, that you cannot lose your salvation. Now, when the Lord came and taught the First New Testament church members, there was not any heresy about losing your salvation. Everybody just understood it. And when Matthew, Mark, and Luke were written, Mark was the first one written, they didn't have this heresy, believing you could lose your salvation. And it's pure heresy. We call it secure the believer. But by the time Paul wrote the book of Galatians, the heresy had begun in the church at Galatia. Paul had to write a defense against it to tell them, no, that's not so. Well, what does the teaching that you can lose your salvation entail? Well, it doesn't mean that the person that believes you can lose your salvation doesn't believe that Jesus is the Son of God. He or she does. And it doesn't mean that the person doesn't believe that Jesus died on the cross for their sins. Most of them do. And it doesn't mean that they don't believe that he was resurrected from the dead. Most of them do. And it doesn't mean that they don't go to Christ and ask to be saved. They do. But the first heresy that came in the New Testament church was a very simple one. They wanted to add something to Jesus. They wanted to add something to Jesus, either to get saved, and after you were saved, they wanted to keep adding something to Jesus to make sure you stay saved. Well, it really upset Paul. And some of these brethren that were teaching that had come into the church at Galatia. They were teaching, yes, Jesus is the Son of God. Yes, he died on the cross. Yes, he's been resurrected from the dead. Yes, yes, he gave his blood for your sins. Yes, he's ascended into heaven. Yes, you have to go to him for salvation. They didn't deny any of that. But they said, now, you've also got to do this. Well, that's what most churches today in this country teach. That you've got to do a little more than just trust Jesus for your salvation. Either to be saved or to stay saved. So tonight I'm going to finish up what I started this morning, and then I won't go back on this subject for a while. But I want to make one thing crystal clear from the Scriptures. You can't lose your salvation, because you didn't get it by works. You got it by the sacrifice and blood of Christ. And you can't lose it because you don't do works, because your soul was bought and paid for by the Son of God, Jesus Christ. Now, there's something that I think it's very important that all of us understand. When I got saved, I didn't understand this. But you better believe I understand it now, after pastoring this church for 30 years. You cannot teach the truth of security of the believer to a false brother. If somebody claims to be a child of God, says they believe Jesus is the Son of God, that he came from heaven, that he died on the cross for their sins, but he or she believes you've got to add something to what he did yourself, either before you're saved to be saved, or after you're saved to stay saved. You can't teach them secure the believer. You can try and try and try and try and try, but you can't. You cannot teach the truth of security of the believer to a false brother. But they, the false brethren, will come into the ranks of true believers trying to dissuade them from what they believe. in order that they might bring them back under the heavy bondage of the law. They say, yes, we believe just what you believe about salvation. But unless you've been baptized, you're headed for hell. Unless you take the Lord's Supper on Sunday, you're going to hell. Unless you belong to this church, you're going to hell. Unless you can speak in tongues, you're going to hell. Now, this was the first heresy that came into the church, the local churches, that you could lose your salvation. That simply meant you had to add something to Jesus. And if you didn't add it, then you were going to lose your salvation. If you weren't a goody two-shoes and didn't keep the law, you were going to lose your salvation. A false brother or sister cannot understand the liberty we have in Christ because they do not have it. Now, if you can understand what I'm teaching, what I taught this morning, and you can understand what I'm teaching tonight, you're not a false brother. You're not a false sister. Because if you can understand it and accept it, you're genuine. Galatians 2:4. Paul wrote this to the church at Galatia. He was very concerned about it. He said that because of false brethren unawares brought in, there were some false brethren that had come into the church, and they came in for a purpose. He says, who came in privily. That means in private, privily, in kind of a sneaky, snaky way, to spy out the liberty which we have in Christ Jesus. They wanted to see this liberty that we had in Christ Jesus. They wanted to understand it. But they can't. The only way you can understand, secure the believer, is if you're saved. Because your faith either is in Christ or can be put in Christ, and you can recognize that you need to have all your faith in Christ. If you can't recognize that, you got a serious problem. That they should bring us, that they might bring us into bondage. When you got saved, the Lord took you out from under the bondage of guilt and sin that would have sent you to hell. That's why Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. He was referring to being weighed down with the bondage, the heavy labor that they were experiencing under the law, trying to keep God's standard of righteousness when they couldn't do it, but deceiving themselves in believing they could and never learning that the reason God gave the law was so you could see how sinful you are and it would bring you to Christ. Now, the first thing that you'll discover about someone who believes Jesus is the Son of God, that he died on the cross for man's sins, that he's ascended into heaven, and they've come to him and they've asked him for salvation, the first thing they'll try to do, and they're fanatical about it, is to convince you that you need to go back underneath some kind of rule system where if you don't obey this certain set of rules that they bring out for you, you're going to lose your salvation, go into hell, and they want to put you right back under that heavy burden you were carrying before Jesus set you free. Now, Paul wrote Galatians and he wrote Romans. I hope you take this personal. I hope you relate to this. Because this is a very personal teaching by Paul. He says, for you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. How would you like to go to a church that believed you had to be baptized to go to heaven? Wouldn't you be a little bit concerned about your baptism if you discovered that the man that baptized you had an affair on his wife 2 years later? Wouldn't you be a little bit concerned if you discovered a year later that man denounced his profession of faith? But what if you were baptized by the authority of a church and the man was merely an instrument of it? As long as the church is sound, you don't have to worry about your baptism. He said, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. Do I respect God? You better believe I do. Do I reverentially fear God? You better believe I do. And you better believe that there are certain things in my life when they're put up in front of me and the flesh says, that would be great, that I run away from it like a frightened child because I don't want to get zapped in the flesh by God. So I don't mean that I've been set free from the bondage of fear from God. I reverentially respect him and fear him. But I'm not afraid he's going to send me to hell. What would happen if you lost your salvation? You'd go to hell. And brother, I can't think of any greater fear. How'd you like to go to a church where they taught you that unless you spoke in tongues, you weren't really saved? And you knew all the time that you were faking it. Wouldn't you be miserable all the time? And how would you like to go to a church that told you, now, yeah, but if you don't do this, well, how much do you have to do? What's the limit? You could never go to rest at night and say, well, if I die before I sleep, I'm going to heaven. Or you might get self-righteous and say, well, I'm doing better than everybody else in the church. Surely God's going to let me go to heaven. And you'd become self-righteous. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. We have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. That word means Father, Father. It means, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for my salvation. And in your heart, you just cry out, thank you, Lord. You saved me. You're my God. You're my Savior. You keep me. You're merciful. You're kind. You're my salvation, my sanctification. You're all those things. And we cry, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. How could you do that if he was standing up there with a club waiting for you to make the wrong step or not do the right thing? You're right back under the same bondage you were under before you got saved. The Spirit also beareth witness with our spirit. We are the children of God. Who was it that convicted you and led you to Christ? Who was it that caused you to repent of your sins? Who was it that you repented toward God? Who was it the Spirit had you put your faith in? Jesus? Doesn't he still bear witness inside you by his Spirit, with your spirit, that you're God's child? You were made God's child by God, not by your works. And once you're his child, you'll never be anything else in God's sight. You may be that disobedient child. He may have to punish you in the flesh. He may spank you in the flesh. He might even kill you in the flesh. But you'll always be his spiritual child. Galatians 3:3. Are you so foolish? The Spirit also beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Paul says, are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? Now are you made perfect because you go and submit to baptism? Now you made perfect because you go to church 3 times a week. Now you made perfect because you give 10% of all you possess. Now you made perfect because you keep every jot and tittle of the law. No, you couldn't keep every jot and tittle of the law. You're not made perfect by the actions of the flesh. You were made perfect by the Spirit. Now do you think that you can go back now and do all these things perfectly and not sin and live above it? Are you so foolish? You'd be surprised how many are. I can't lose my salvation because I didn't earn it. It was given to me. It was given to me by God's Spirit. He paid the price for it. I'm bought with a price. I'm paid for. I'm a possession of God. I'm his child. He's not ever going to leave me nor forsake me. Galatians 4:9. But now, what were these brethren that came into the church that were so anxious to put them back under bondage? What were they trying to get them to do? He says, but now after ye, members of the church at Galatia, have known God, you've been saved by the Spirit of God, he's convicted you of your sins, or rather have known God, I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus. You talk to him. You pray to him. You're known of him. You know him. He saved you by his Spirit. Then he asks him a question. He says, I turn you again to the weak and beggarly elements wherein you desire to be, again, to be in bondage. Now you want to go back under the law and say, okay, now I'm saved. Now I can keep every jot and tittle of the law. Now I won't sin anymore. Now I won't have bad thoughts anymore. Now I can keep all the commandments of God. Now I can love the Lord my God with all my heart and all my mind and all my might and all my soul and my neighbor as myself. That's the biggest bunch of baloney that ever came down the pike, because you're still sinful in the flesh. But now you have an advocate with the Father. When you sin, you're faithful and just to confess your sin. He's faithful and just to forgive you. And the verse that says that says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. He said, you want to go back under bondage that you just came out of? That's what loss of salvation is. Oh, my goodness, I'm going to hell now. I've done this, I've done that. Listen, if you won't come to church because you love God, I wish you'd just stay home. If you're coming down here because you're afraid God's going to send you to hell if you don't, I wish you'd just go stay at home. Because you're not coming to church for the right reason. If you come to church because you love God, because He saved you by grace, and keeps you by His abundant mercy, and you're down here because you want to show that you appreciate it and you're thankful to Him, well, please keep on coming. But if not, you're wasting God's time and you're wasting your time. Galatians 5:1. Stand there fast, therefore, in the liberty wherein Christ hath made us free. Jesus set me free. And be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. He said, don't go back under the law. Now that you're saved, don't go back there and say, yeah, I believe all that stuff about Jesus, but man, if I do this, I'm going to hell. If I do that, I'm going to hell. If I don't do this, I'm going to hell. And God's word says this, God's word says that. If I don't do all that, I'm going to hell. That's not true. You put yourself right back under the bondage. Do I run around all the time trying to sin? Do I run around all the time trying to lie? Do I not go to church? But I don't go to be saved or stay saved. I go because He set me free. Now, there are a lot of people that get saved, and because they are unfaithful, and they don't attend church much, they don't listen to the Word of God much, they don't study the Word of God much, they're not very happy either, because they never are quite sure that they've really been set free. And the reason that these people are saved and never are quite sure, because they don't continue in the Word. The true believer continues in the Word and discovers he has liberty because he has been set free of his condemnation for sin by Jesus. Sister Shipley this morning, when I was talking to her, she said, you know, that's kind of a hard thing to understand, isn't it? I didn't understand that the night I got saved, did you? It had to be taught to you. Well, you knew that you'd been saved, but it had to be taught to you. But if you don't continue in God's Word, you never will understand securing the believer. That's one of the great blessings of God. The true believer continues in the Word and discovers he has liberty because he has been set free of his condemnation for sin by Jesus. I'm still a sinner in the flesh, but I've been set free for the condemnation that would send me to hell. I can't ever be sent to hell because I was saved by grace, I'm kept by faith, and I'll be resurrected by grace. Revelation 8:31-32. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him, if ye continue in My word, then are you My disciples indeed. The word disciple is disciplos. It means a follower. And the word indeed is a lathase. It means true. You want to know how you can pick out the true disciples from the false disciples? False disciples believe you can lose your salvation. True disciples believe you can't. And why do those two disciples know that you can't lose your salvation? He says, if you continue in My word, then are you My true disciples. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. A false disciple can't learn that. You can't teach that to somebody that believes you can lose your salvation and is absolutely certain of it. You can't teach that to somebody that walked down an aisle believing if they would get baptized and trust Jesus, they go to heaven. You can't teach it to them. They won't accept it. They won't believe it. They've got to add something to Jesus. But if you are saved, you can be taught to secure the belief. When Jack Branch came to this church, he had been saved when he was young. And he had been saved in a scriptural Baptist church. And then he got in the hospital. Jack won't mind me telling you this. I've asked him several times if it's all right. And Jack came over here and he wanted to join. I said, well, Jack, you've been attending a Free Will Baptist church down there. I said, do you believe you can lose your salvation? He said, I sure do. I said, well, you can't belong to this church and believe that. Then I said, where were you saved? He told me. He was baptized by a scriptural church. I said, why'd you start going to Free Will? He said, well, I got in the hospital. He said, when I got in there, the pastor of this church never came to see me, but this Free Will Baptist preacher started coming over to see me. And he said, I started going to that Free Will church. I said, well, Jack, let me tell you something. I have learned that if a person's saved, they can learn, secure the believer. You can teach it to them. If they're not saved, you're just wasting your time. You're going to make them so mad, they'll spit snowballs. They'll turn fiery inside, and they'll despise you inwardly. You can't teach it to them. But if a person is saved, you can take the Word of God, and you can make a case to them, and you can prove it. You know why you can't teach them? Because they've never been set free. You can get set, when you're saved, you get set free. But the problem is, you don't know how free you're set by Christ and faith in Him until God teaches it to you as you continue in His Word. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed, truly free. That's why I can stand here with such great conviction. Yeah, I'm a loud mouth extrovert. I'm a blowhard. I'm all those things. I don't deny. But this is not braggadocio. This is not a forwardness on my part. I'm telling you the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. When you get saved, Christ sets you free. And you weren't set free by your works. And you're not kept free by your works. You're kept free by the one who saved you, and in the one who saved you, Jesus Christ. The book of truth is not a book of bondage. And if you continue in it and you're saved, you'll discover how truly safe you are, and it'll make you very grateful for it. So if some of this bothers you and you say, well, I didn't know all that. Well, welcome to the club. I didn't know all of it until I'd been saved for quite a while. But the truth is now, can you believe it? Will you accept it? If you can't believe it and you can't accept it, you better start doing some serious thinking. The book of truth is not a book of bondage. It is a book of liberty. The longer you continue in it, the more you see it as the perfect law of liberty in Christ, which causes you to be more thankful for the eternal salvation He provided for you, and causes you to become a willing doer of His work for which He blesses you. If you come to church because you're scared to death, if you don't, He's going to send you to hell. You might as well stay home. If you pull out that wallet and give to the Lord because you're afraid He's going to send you to hell, if you don't, you might as well push the money right back in there. And if you went into those baptismal waters thinking that Jesus would save you when you went into them, you're as lost as a goose and headed straight for hell because your faith is not in Christ. That causes you to become a willing doer of the work for which He blesses you. James 1:25. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, that's what the Word of God is, and continueth therein. If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. He being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. You think I'm over here preaching because you pay me? That's the reason I don't take any more and never have received a raise and turned them all down and resigned one time because you kept trying to raise my salary. I don't want money. I don't do this for money. I want enough to feed my family, and you can see I'm adequately fed. I do it because I'm set free. I have a choice. I don't have to preach here. I don't have to teach here. I can go out and live like hell and still go to heaven. You say, you don't believe that. Yes, I do. But because I know that He saved me by grace, and because I'm set free to do it, I have no desire to do it. Because somebody that would set me that free and love me that much, you better believe I'm going to serve Him, and I'm going to serve Him because I love Him, not because I'm scared they'll send me to hell. There's not much faith in the person that's afraid God will send them to hell after Christ died for them on the cross and they've received it. A willing doer does it out of love for the one who set him free and gave him the liberty to do it in love, and not for initially saving or afterwards eternally keeping his soul. You think you can keep your own soul after you save it? What a miserable life you lead. How much do you have to do? How do you know the baptism you got was any good? I mean, how much do you have to do? How can you live like that and say that you've been set free in Christ? Colossians 3:23-24. And whatsoever you do it heartily. Heartily is ekpsyche. It means from the saved soul. As to the Lord, not unto men. Knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. I've got an inheritance to look forward to. I'm going to heaven. But what am I going to have when I get there? A reward? How big is it going to be? In proportion to whether or not I serve the Lord Jesus Christ or serve my own fears and served God out of a heart that was scared to death he was going to send me to hell, and had so little confidence in him that I was afraid he didn't do quite enough to save me, and I had to do something to help him. That's awful. That's terrible. That's ungodly heresy. A saved person can go back under the bondage of the law. Jack had. It took me 3 weeks. And at the end of 3 weeks, Jack Branch was absolutely positive you could not lose your salvation. It took me about 3 months to teach him what the church is. And it took me 2 months to teach him what the Lord's Supper was. But because he had been saved by the Spirit when he was young, he came to accept it readily. So I never had any problem with Jack on. That's the test. If a person is saved, you can understand what I'm saying. If you can't understand it, you're mad as a wet hen. A saved person can go back under the bondage of the law and do what he or she does to stay saved, but their lives are counterfeit. They're miserable. And they are miserable spiritually because they can never be sure they have done enough. This is what Paul told the church members at Galatia. This is what I tell you, what Paul said. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherein Christ hath made us free. Don't you ever let anybody tell you that you can lose your salvation. Don't you ever let anybody tell you that it takes more than the sacrifice of Christ and his life to set you free. And don't you ever go back and be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Don't ever go back and think, well, I know Jesus died for me and everything, but if I don't do this, and I don't do this, and I don't do this, and I don't do that, I'm going to hell. No, 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 no. You come to church, you sit on a church pew, you listen to God's word, you praise God from your heart, and you thank God from the depths of your soul that he loved you enough to save you, a miserable wretch just like me, and he keeps you by his power. And that's what worshiping God is all about. And that's what love and gratitude is all about. I've got one more sheet, and this is the last I'll have to say on Secure the Believer for a while. But I wanted to make this very clear, and I think this is going to be on the same tape I used this morning. But just because we have been set free eternally from the condemnation penalty of God for our sins that would have sent us to hell, we should not use this liberty we have received in Christ to disobey his commandment to us after Judas departed the Lord's Supper. He won't send you to hell for not doing this. But you have been set free. But just because we have been set free eternally from the condemnation penalty of God for our sins that would send us to hell, we should not use this liberty we have received in Christ to disobey the commandment to us after Judas departed the Lord's Supper. The Lord made sure he got rid of Judas in the 13th chapter. Galatians 5:13. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. You've been set free. You have liberty. You have Christ as your Savior. He's given you freedom. He set you free. You have liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh. Don't use it as an excuse to sin. Don't go out saying, well, I'm going to sin because I know I can get it. You won't do that. You know how wrong it is. You won't do it. But by love, serve one another. You see, regardless of whether you believe this or not, it's true. I couldn't love like God until Christ came to live in me. And you can't live, you can't love like God until you've been born again by the Spirit. Once you've received the Spirit of God, once you've repented of your sins and you've trusted in Jesus for the first time, you've got somebody in you that can love the brethren, because he's in you and he died for you and all those other brethren. Oh, you've got a flesh. Your flesh just loves itself. And those that treat you nice, and treat your flesh nice, you'll love them. That's only natural. That's the natural man. But to love like the Lord, you've got to have the Spirit of God in you. And you have to let Christ love out of you. And that's why a local church is so important. You grow to love one another. Now, I know there's lots of things about me you probably don't like. Well, there's lots of things about myself I don't like either. And A lot of us tend to want everybody to be like us. We have to learn to love one another as we are. Not the side of us that's sinful, but the side of us that's spiritual. And we can do that. And that's really the great commandment. John 13, 34, 35, he had just dismissed Judas Iscariot. He set a new commandment. He gave it to the 11 remaining apostles. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know ye are my disciples, if you have love one to another. I don't care what the church of this size is, the size of this church is. You may not believe that, but I don't. I don't care what the size is. I don't care if it's 25 of us here, 200. I care less about the numbers. What I do care about is whether we love one another. Because I know that we can do it because we have Christ in us. And I know we can be forgiving and compassionate and understanding toward one another because we have Jesus in us. And we've been set free to make a choice. So we want to love him, worship him in spirit and in truth, and together as a local visible body representing him in this community, then let's speak love of one another. Let's tell people in the community how much we care for one another, how much we enjoy being together. Galatians 5, 14 through 18. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this: thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. That's what's destroyed most of our churches. I get email requests from preachers all the time. I got two last week. They were just absolute, well, I got three within the last month. And one of them, the preacher, was brokenhearted. He was just crying his heart out when he called me. And then he sent me the email. And the other two were being run off by churches. And they're not bad guys. I know them. Know all three of them. And these churches are so busy biting and backbiting and devouring one another and criticizing one another. And they are missionary Baptist churches. No excuse for that. We can't live above sin. But by cracky, the Lord's going to hold us accountable for whether we love one another. It's a matter of something that involves a relationship between you and Christ inside you, and you learning to love other people you don't particularly like that have the same Jesus living in them. He said, this I say, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. I can walk in the flesh, but I have the Spirit of Christ in me. I'm going to try and love you no matter what. I'm going to try. You think I like everything about every one of you? Well, I sure do like you all very much. But some of the things about you I like more than others. But I'm going to love you. And I'm going to follow the Spirit of God. Because my flesh just loves itself. As long as you're good to my flesh, he'll be good to you. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. You're going to have that battle all your life. It's going to be a battle between God's Spirit in you, your flesh over here, and you're the soul caught in the middle. You can't lose your salvation. Go ahead and be mean as the devil. You'll have to answer for it at the judgment seat of Christ, or you'll answer for it in the flesh in this life. But I don't care how mean you get, how unloving you become toward me or toward one another. Thank God salvation is by grace. You see, that's what's going to be so bad about the judgment seat of Christ. We're not going to have any excuse. Because he set us free. And he gave us a new spirit. And he gave us that book. And he gave us a place to assemble together. And he gave us his word so we could learn to love one another. You think the Lord's going to roll out a book with all your past sins, meticulous? He's going to judge you for whether you love the brethren. If you love the brethren, you won't covet his wife. If you love the brethren, you won't lie to him. If you love the brethren, you won't cheat him. If you love the brethren, you won't be mean to them. It's all based on love. And that's what we're going to be held accountable for at the judgment seat of Christ. It's really all based on love. The law is just something that's based on love. And if you love God, you'll love your fellow man. And if you love his son, you'll love his body, which is the local church. For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. These are contrary, the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things you would. You're going to goof up lots of times. You're going to get mad. You're going to get irritable. But you've always got 1 John 1:8 and 9. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But if you'll be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. You say, well, you've got to follow the Spirit then. No. You've got to have the Spirit to be led of the Spirit. False brethren don't have the Spirit. If you don't have the Spirit, you'll never understand security of the believer. You can ridicule it, you can laugh at it, you can criticize it, you can get mad about it, you can jump up and down, you can scream and stomp, but you'll never understand it if you weren't saved by the Spirit of God. Because if you were convicted by the Holy Spirit, he's the one that's going to teach you this book. He's the one that's going to show you you're not under the law anymore. Doesn't tell you the law is not good. Doesn't tell you you should stop honoring your father and your mother. You should start lying and shooting people. But it tells you you're not under the condemnation of God or sin that would have sent you to hell. 1 John 1:8 and 9. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. How many times have I exercised that? I lost count. I'm sure the angels in heaven lost count. I don't know if God bothers to keep count. God's the only one who could possibly keep count of it. I'm a very happy man. Some fellow comes along, jumps on me and tells me I can lose my salvation. When I was a young man, I used to argue with him, fight with him, get mad at him, go back and forth. I don't do that anymore. I'm very happy because I understand something. Even as David described the blessedness, Makarios, the ecstatic happiness of the man, unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works. I have never had any righteousness other than what Jesus gave me. I never will have any righteousness except what he imputed to me. And the only reason I can perform righteous acts is because I respond to Christ in me and he does the works. You say, well, it sounds like you're just going along for the ride and Jesus gets all the credit. That's exactly right. That's precisely what it's all about. Saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven. That's plural. Whose sins are covered. That's plural. My sins and iniquities are forgiven and covered by the blood of Christ. This next part gives a lot of people a lot of trouble. Blessed, Makarios, ecstatically happy is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. God will not impute any sin to me that would put me back under his condemnation and send me to hell, or put me back under a bondage of the law. That's why it's a joy and a pleasure to serve him. That's why being a member of this church is very special to me. That's why being your pastor is very special to me. You'd be surprised how few people understand that. You'd be surprised because a lot of people are trying to serve God for the wrong reason. God wants you to serve him because he set you free. He said, okay now. You're mine. Make the choice. Serve me out of love, out of thanksgiving for what I've done for you. But don't serve me out of fear that I'll send you to hell. He doesn't want that kind of worship. He wants worship from a heart that's thankful, praises his name continually for the amazing grace that he gave that soul and saved. As the lights are turned on, as the song leader and pianist come,